4, after you heard the kids sing Romans 8:28, you know, that was their Bible verse, their mega verse for the week. We're told in those words, and if you're used to following me along my preaching, I am preaching from the NIV this week because it matches the way the kids learn the verse, and I don't want to cause confusion. The verse, Romans 8:28, is a familiar verse to many of you, I'm sure, and it was the focus of this whole week's theme, and especially Tuesday night, and we're going to unpack that a little bit in a moment. But Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. On Tuesday night, they focused in on the issue of adversity in relation to that message, that the message of that verse. And that, I think that's where we often, if you know that verse and throughout your life and following after God, when you face those challenges, you've often found hope in those words. That even the challenges that we face, the adversity that we face, that even in that difficult moment, that God could work some good in that, in our lives and the lives of others. The story Tuesday night when we talked about epic moments of adversity was the story around Bethany Hamilton. And in a moment, you're going to watch a video clip from her movie. But the epic moments of adversity... See if the kids are listening. Some of them just left, but the kids had the mega point. The kids had to actually scream this out anytime they heard mega, the blue guy point. So those of you can want to help me. Epic moments of adversity remind us that God is here. Try it again. Epic moments of adversity. Now I can hear my wife down front saying, "You're going too fast." So, That's a great promise. When we face those challenges, we're reminded that God can be with us in that moment of challenge, in that moment of adversity. But God can also take those things in our life, the moments of pain and the moments that we don't understand, and God can redeem those things. And we're going to watch a brief clip from the movie Soul Surfer. If you're not familiar with Bethany Hamilton, she was an American professional surfer. Survived a 2003 shark attack that caused her to lose her arm, and thought that was the end of her surfing career, as well as just major change in life. But she ultimately not only adjusted to that change, but returned to professional surfing. In 2004, she wrote her autobiography talking about the experience, and in 2011, it was put in film. I don't do a lot of film recommendations, but if you've not seen it, it's a good family film, great message. And you're going to see a clip of it here in a moment, but the clip you're going to see kind of introduces Bethany, as she's adjusting to having lost the arm. And it ends the last part of the clip. You're going to see her with her youth director and how she's processing this about her and her faith. Let's go ahead and watch that clip.
I have some good news to share.
What news?
Holt got a call from that show, Inside Edition, and they want to give Bethany a prosthetic arm.
Wait. She's been home for 5 minutes.
They're going to pay for the entire thing.
Why did you talk to a TV show?
And it's custom made.
Will it look normal?
I would think so.
Awesome. Can they make one I can surf with?
What does she have to do?
All she has to do is give a brief interview wearing the arm.
Check out my sister, the celebrity.
You don't have to do this.
No. I want to. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do it.
So, settled.
Hey. Wait, let's give thanks.
Thank you.
arm could not come soon enough, because trying to make do with only one, even harder than it sounds. I mean, fixing your hair is not exactly rocket science, unless you've only got one arm. Then it might as well be a mission to Mars. Every day of my life, for as far back as I could remember, I was in the water. And now I couldn't even put my bathing suit on. Almost everything seemed to be a challenge. But what scared me most was that I might not be able to surf again.
Should I go? Or do you want to do this together? It's up to you.
Stay.
Okay. Oh, it's looking great. Feeling nicely. You all right? Yeah. It's going to look better once the stitches are out.
Hey, I just got back from Mexico. I'm so glad you're okay.
I was just about to come see you.
I couldn't wait.
Come here. I was thinking about you and praying for you every minute. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. Everyone's been doing really good.
You don't have to do that, Bethany. Not with me.
They're trying to help. I know.
But what?
You know how you said it's hard to see things clearly sometimes when you're too close?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been trying to get some perspective. I've been really trying. Sarah, how can this be God's plan for me? I don't understand.
I don't know why terrible things happen to us sometimes. But I have to believe that something good is gonna come out of this. I don't know what that is. I really wish I did.
Whoever just said, you got to rent it. It's worth watching. You know, that question that she raised there at the end, I think is a question often we have when we face pain and heartache of any form. Just kind of how does this fit into God's plan? And what was expressed is really encapsulated in the verse that the kids learned this week of Romans 8:28, that even in the worst situations, that God can take that, he can redeem it, and can make something good in that in our lives and the lives of others. And we're going to reflect a little bit on that verse today. But there's a quote on the screen. This is obviously after the experience that Bethany has had, but her whole life and her ministry, she's still surfing, still competing, but she also is still very focused on encouraging others who are going through difficult times and helping them find hope. And her quote, in looking back, she says, "It was Jesus who gave me peace when the shark severed my arm. I trust in Jesus whenever I'm going through a hard time. I see all the beautiful things that have come out of my situation." She goes on to say, I'm able to share my story with young girls who have few role models, and I can help others cope with what they have been through." There's hope in these words. And so we're gonna look at Romans 8:28 because it not only was instrumental in Bethany's story, but whatever you're facing today, I think if you really reflect on these words, you may find encouragement and hope, not only that God is with us in the midst of our adversity, but that God can take that difficult thing, whatever it is that you're facing, and he can do something in that for our good. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." We're going to take each of these phrases, and the first phrase is, "in all things." This is probably the hardest part for us to accept, the idea that we like the good things that come along in our life, but the challenges that we face in our life, that's where we really struggle, saying, well, how's God going to use this in my life? But that phrase, "in all things," is very clear that anything that we experience, any experience we have, good or bad, a time of celebration or a time of sorrow, that God can use all those experiences to work in our lives, that he can take all those things and work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, when we think about the all things, and our main focus here is and where we tend to gravitate to when we look at these words, is those difficult moments, those moments of adversity, and the challenges that we have, the pain that we go through. And as I reflect on the idea of different pain that we experience in our life, there are different types of pain. I think often we look at the pain in our life and we think, well, this is all that God is putting in front of us. But the reality is some pain is self-inflicted. I'm guilty. There have been times where I've made choices and made decisions that caused pain for me and caused pain for others. And I had to work through that. And I find in those moments great hope and to know that God can even take those mistakes and even sin in my life. God can, if I surrender it to him and come back and put my faith and trust in him, God can take that self-inflicted pain and use that to not only for my good, but for the good of others. Often when you hear someone share their story, I was just telling someone this morning about a pastor friend of mine who God saved him out of the drug culture. He was, and he's now actually working with youth down in Tennessee. But, you know, I when I hear his story, when he shares his story of how God got a hold of him, his self-inflicted pain and the decisions that he made early in his life, that part of the story really just makes his testimony so powerful, because when Jesus got a hold of him, he took his past and has used that to allow him to have an impact in the lives of others who might be struggling with drugs and with some of the same things that he struggled with before he came to know Jesus. Sometimes pain is self-inflicted. Sometimes pain is caused by another person. We've all experienced that. Sometimes we know we can cause people pain, and sometimes people can cause us pain. And sometimes it's people that we know, that we love, and they cause us pain. And when we look back in our experience, there are times that God has allowed us to experience pain that was caused by someone else. And God can take even that experience of adversity and that experience of pain, and he can redeem it. One of the things, and this is where it's a little philosophical, but I think it's a very important, and you've heard, some of you have heard me share this before, but my own conviction is that we live in a fallen world. And a third aspect of pain and adversity that we face is because we live in a fallen world, there is sin, when it entered the world, brought sin or brought sickness and pain and death. And what Jesus did on the cross set in motion bringing an end to all of those things. And yet we still live in a fallen world where people get sick, where people die, where we face heartache and pain because of what is actually going on in the world around us, the fallen world in which we live. Years ago, a mentor to me, Carl McGarvey, used to be the director of missionary candidates in the Alliance. When I was just about finishing up college, he was diagnosed with cancer. He had just left the missionary field and working in the Philippines and was assigned to Colorado to begin working with the international ministries. And I had a lot of questions about it. I'm thinking, why would you allow this man to get sick? And it was difficult even from a distance, let alone what it would have been like for him in his shoes to be going through this. He was doing what God wanted him to be doing, and yet he found himself fighting leukemia. I think it was in Life 95, he was in remission, and he was sharing at the Life Conference, what our kids are getting ready to go to in Kansas City. And he shared the kind of an illustration. He said about this idea that we live in a fallen world where every one of us could encounter sickness. Every one of us will encounter real physical death because we live in a fallen world. He illustrated that in a way that really stuck with me. He said, it would be as if I was going to a water park thinking I'm not going to get wet. He said, if I went down and went into the water park thinking I'm somehow going to go through the whole experience of the water park and not going to get wet. He said, that was kind of the light that went on for him to understand we live in a fallen world. There is pain. There is sickness. But as Christians, we celebrate the fact that Jesus took our sorrows, our grief, our pain upon himself upon the cross. And there's healing in the cross. There's healing in what Jesus has done for us, but there's an ultimate healing coming where Jesus brings an end to all of those things. And we live in that moment of celebrating what Jesus did for us, but also looking forward to know that there is a day coming that there will be no more sickness and sorrow, no more pain, no more death because of what Jesus has done for us and what will happen when he returns for his children. So there's self-inflicted pain. There's pain that's caused by others, but there's also pain and adversity we face in this life because we live in a fallen world. God is also clear, though, that there are times in our life that he also allows things to come into our life that's a moment of testing. Most of us don't like signing up for that. But there are moments where there's things that God puts in front of us that is to test us, to make us stronger. Whatever pain or adversity you're facing, though, I think it's important that we understand that the promise in Romans 8:28 is that God can take any of that pain, he can take any of that adversity, and he can work in that situation. He can work in that situation for your good and for the good of others. Again, Bethany Hamilton shares her story, and that's really become her whole life focus, is the idea of coming alongside people that are struggling, that are hurting, to encourage them. She's taken a very tragic situation in her life that really seemed at one moment threatened her very future, that she wanted to be a competitive surfer. She thought it was going to be gone, and yet God opened up the door for her to continue. And yet she's had to live and adjust based on this event that happened in her life. But she's used that as a platform to not only experience a change in her life, but she has used that as a platform to be an encouragement to other young girls especially, but other people who face difficult situations and times and find hope in the words of Romans 8:28. So we have the words, in all things. The next phrase, God works for the good. The word that's used, works, here, the Greek word is synergeo. What does that sound like? Synergeo. Synergy. It's the idea when if you're working with other people, the idea that there's synergy, even like in the team, like an athletic team, that when the team members start working together, we describe that as synergy, that in working together they become stronger. That's the word that's being used here, the idea of collaborating and working along together. And so God is taking any of those things that we face, no matter what it is that we face, he can take those things and he can work with those things for our good. He can take those things that we would have liked to have checked out of, that we wouldn't have wanted to deal with. How many of you have faced adversity that you would have rather skipped? Yeah. Some of you are facing it right now. But God can take that pain, he can take the heartache, he can take the sorrow, whatever it is you're facing, he can take that and he can do good in your life and he can work through you for the good of others. He works with those things. And the idea of the good, though, sometimes people will take this and say, well, the good is going to be what we think is good. What we think is good isn't necessarily what God thinks is good. And so the idea that God's going to take those experiences and work something out, we have to sometimes come to a place that we're willing to surrender what we think the good should be, what we think God should do to make it things right, and trust God to do something good in our lives and the lives of others through that pain and through that adversity. What we see if we keep reading, and we're going to look at the verse 29 shortly, but what we see if we look at this verse in context and in the passage that the verse finds itself in, is that the good is not just about what we think is good, but that God has a specific plan and purpose. And that the good is not about our earthly comfort or about our wants. The good is about us being conformed to Christ. The good is about our character, us becoming more like Jesus, and the good is about God receiving glory and honor in how we respond to that challenge and how we respond to that adversity in our life. Those two things I think we need to think of. If you're facing a challenge right now and you're wondering, how is God going to work in this situation? How is God going to take my pain, my heartache, and my challenge and make anything good out of it? Two key themes that are consistent not only in these verses but all of Scripture is that God will take that pain, he'll take that adversity, and he will work very clearly two key things in your life. If you trust him with that situation, if you trust him, he will work in that situation to make you more like Jesus. And that's your character. But he'll also work in that situation to use what even is a difficult challenge, and especially when you think about some of the times when we have the self-inflicted pain, we think we've made a mess of things and that God can't use us anymore. God can even step into those situations where we've made the mess. If we turn to him and we surrender that to him, God can take that and he can even work even in that bad situation and use our mistakes and our past sin. He can use that for his glory, if we're willing to repent and turn to him and trust him. Bethany Hamilton, again, great example of someone who took tragedy and used it not only to grow in her relationship with Christ, to become more like Jesus in how she lived, but has used this as a platform to help young girls and many other people find hope and encouragement in Christ. The promise in these words is made very clearly to those of us that love him and those of us that are called according to his purpose. And that we're going to combine the last phrases together. The issue of loving God and the issue of being called, those who love God and then those who have been called according to his purpose, that the issue of calling, sometimes we get confused on that and some pastors and sometimes theologians want to argue about what that means, that God called some. The emphasis of God's calling isn't as much that he's accepting some, choosing some and not choosing others, or accepting some and rejecting others. The issue is that God is showing that he takes the initiative. He takes the initiative in coming to us and calling us into relationship with him, a relationship in which we love him and are called to a specific purpose in our relationship with him. 2 Peter 3:9 says that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What Jesus did on the cross was for everyone. But every one of us have to come to a place that we see who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us and repent and believe and trust him. so that we can enter into this life where we have purpose, and we enter into this life where we not only receive God's love, but that we live a life where we're loving Him. When we think of these words, that we have been called according to a purpose, we're reminded that God not only calls us just to save us, God calls us to use us to accomplish something for His plan and His purpose in our life. And Romans 8:29 is very clear and very specific about one of the central goals that God has in calling every one of us. And what God wants to do in when He takes that adversity, when He takes the challenges and the pain that we have in our life, when we trust Him through that, God wants to take those things and He wants to mold us and shape us into people who look more and act more like Jesus. Romans 8:29 says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." Now, if you picture the idea of being conformed, it's like some of you maybe in your business and your work, maybe worked with a press or something where you had a mold or something. Or those of you with young kids, that got the Play-Doh. You have the Play-Doh, the toys. You have a shape or something, the kids jam the Play-Doh in it, and they pull it off, and it actually looks like that image that they were pressing things into. That's the language that's being described here. Is that God will take all these things, and He's going to work in all these things so that we might be conformed, shaped, pressed into the very likeness of His Son. If we trust Him in the midst of our pain, if we trust Him in the midst of our adversity, God will work for our good. He will work in our life to make us look more like Him. And not only we have that promise that Jesus will work in our life through that. And we've seen that in Bethany Hamilton. I've seen that in my own life. I can think of a time back, I think it was my sophomore year in college. For me, it was a series of events. Kind of a Lemony Snicket thing. A series of unfortunate events in my life. It was like about a month and a half, 2 months of like, if anything could have gone wrong, it did. I had a relationship breakup, which is, that's, we know now with perspective, that was a good thing. Right, Jana? Yeah. I don't think, she typically didn't have a lot to say about that person anyway, so. But, you know, I can remember this all kind of started. It was like this domino effect. I remember coming home. I had gone on a trip that spring break, so I didn't get to go home over spring break. So I took a long weekend. And again, when I was in Kentucky, weekend trips were not at Asbury. It was kind of hard to do a weekend trip home back to Clearfield. But I remember I cut out some Friday and some Monday classes to have a long weekend, and had another student that was coming home with me. And on the way home, I met one of Pennsylvania's finest. Right outside of Altoona, trying to get home a little faster, get back to college a little faster. And I did look at Ken when I said that. But you know, I was a poor college student. That might as well have been a $1,000 fine. So I remember getting back to the campus and calling my mom and my dad and to tell them, and they didn't seem concerned at all about it. I think they expected me to. I did pay for it, so I know that may be why they weren't concerned. But I remember as they were sharing that, I could tell my parents were distracted, and it was in that moment that I found out my dad had just been diagnosed with cancer. My dad has fought melanoma. That was in the early 90s when I was in college, and then fought prostate cancer about 5-6 years ago. But I remember my ticket it wasn't real significant at that point. But I had the ticket. I was the stress of wondering what this meant for my dad, because it was very advanced. He's got a large scar in his back from this. It was about the same time that I had had this breakup, and there was also some conflict on the campus that was going on. It was really disillusioning. People that I respected, it was major conflict at the school. And to the point where Jana and I compared notes years ago that we actually both considered leaving the school, based on some of the things we were seeing. So it was just all this piled together. And some of you may be in that situation where it's not one thing. You have a series of pain and heartache, a series of challenging things that you're facing, and you're saying, what is God going to do with this? I can remember that it was the next year I served as a resident assistant, and I look back about halfway through that year, I remember looking back and thinking how much that 2 or 3 months prepared me to serve effectively as a resident assistant at the dorm. We were much more than the campus police. They wanted us. We did that too. But we actually, our main focus was to mentor, to come alongside people. And I had 12 freshmen in my hall. My junior year as an RA, I had 12 freshmen in my hall, and that kept me busy. But I had kids that were homesick, had kids that were going through all these different experiences. And I believe that God used that spring in my life to shape me, but he also used that to prepare me for what he wanted to do in that year of ministry as an RA. And that has all just been built upon even all of my other future ministry beyond that. Whatever you're facing, God can take those things. But the key thing in all of that is what Bethany Hamilton said in her quote. She said, "I trust Jesus whenever I'm going through a hard time." The choice to trust and the choice to hope that God will take that challenge, that God will take the adversity, take the pain that we're experiencing, and turn and work something good in that, that's a picture of faith. But it's the faith that God wants us to, not only calls us to, but he wants to bless us with. God wants us to have that faith that we trust him, even when it doesn't make sense, even when what Bethany said, we feel like we're too close. We're too close to have perspective. In my life, it's much easier to have I've found it's much easier after the fact to look back than it is in the moment of challenge, in the moment of the pain. And yet, even in that moment, we can choose to trust him. When I ask you in closing, what adversity are you facing today? And most of us don't have to think too hard, but I know some of you are carrying some deep hurts and some deep pain in your life. I want to ask you in that moment, as you think about that, to think about these three promises that we have in God's word. One is, this was the epic moment verse that night, or the statement of that night was that epic moments of adversity remind us God is here. When we walk through difficult times, there is great comfort in knowing that Jesus is with us. He's there with us. But we also know, and we can celebrate the fact that God can use that pain, he can use that adversity to make us more like Jesus, and use that adversity to do something that would be for his glory. Not our glory, but his glory, to bring honor to him. I looked up Bethany Hamilton's website, and she has a nonprofit that she does all of her competitive surfing as well as her speaking and writing. But I love the purpose of her organization. It says that it's a nonprofit that reaches out to encourage a broken world by offering hope to overcome through Jesus Christ. In a relationship with Jesus, there is hope. We have his presence, but we have the hope that he'll take whatever we're facing. He'll do something in our life for good, but he'll also use us for the good of others. He'll use us to bless other people for God's glory if we just trust him to work in our lives. Will you pray with me as the musicians come? Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for these words, but also very grateful, Lord, for the examples that we see in Scripture as well as in Bethany Hamilton, and Lord, where we've seen you take painful experiences and heartache, and you've used that in our lives, Lord, to do something good, to shape us to become more like you, or to use that so that we can take our experience and be a blessing and encouragement to other people who might be going through the same thing. Lord, I just pray that whatever we're facing today, that we would just trust you. That we trust you with whatever it is that we're facing, and that, Lord, that even in this moment, we would find new hope and encouragement in the words, Lord, to know that you will work in this situation if we trust you. You will accomplish something good, even in the darkest moment, and in the darkest situation, if we just trust you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.